So the year was 1968, and some of you may remember this. Almost 500 women from the feminist and civil rights movements had gathered outside of Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey, to protest the Miss America pageant. The organizers of the protest were opposed to the objectification and mistreatment of women, and they saw the Miss America pageant as just the embodiment of so many things that were wrong in the culture. But they also saw the pageant as being linked to other major social ills, like racism, because no woman of color had ever been allowed to participate in the pageant, war, because someone like Miss America would go over to Vietnam and entertain the troops, and also materialism, because of all the products that women were encouraged to buy to be beautiful. And so the women outside at the protest literally crowned a sheep as the winner of the Miss America contest to represent how women were being treated like livestock. They threw objects of female oppression, like girdles, curlers, and tweezers, into trash cans. Now, for the record, no bras were actually burned, but they were blamed for it anyway. They sang songs, and they even secretly made their way into the actual Miss America pageant and unfurled a balcony from the banner that read, "Freedom for Women." And their actions caused a stir, to say the least. Fast forward to 2017. We see a women's march in Washington, D.C. that drew about 500,000 people and was the single largest protest for a day in U.S. history. And Time magazine had as its person of the year the Silence Breakers, representing the people, mostly women, who came forward with their stories of assault and harassment that have fueled a worldwide movement and conversation. Some of those women were right here from the U of R. Time said that this reckoning appears to have sprung up overnight, but it has actually been simmering for years, decades, and centuries. The Silence Breakers are carrying on work that was started long ago, and the new hashtag, Time's Up, is a warning that more reckoning is required to make things right. In the first reading today, we hear Moses say very clearly, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin." I can think of nothing more prophetic than what is happening through these Me Too and Time's Up movements. And women are speaking with the same authority that we hear Jesus speak with today. Prophets are rising from our own kin to say that we've got to get our relationships right because they are not in order. And the stories that we're hearing, there were over 1.7 million tweets and more than 12 million Facebook posts, do not even begin to account for what Oprah said in her Golden Globe speech, all the women who have endured years of abuse and assault because they, like my mother, had children to feed, bills to pay, and dreams to pursue. The famous Jewish rabbi and activist Abraham Joshua Heschel says that the job of the prophet is to be about the ceaseless shattering of indifference. And I think we are in one of those moments. The almost daily headlines that we have been reading about emerging to speak to what many call a toxic masculinity that permeates this culture and many other cultures. It's a masculinity that idealizes strength, anger, violence, stoicism, competition, force, and coercion. It's a masculinity that targets people who don't fit stereotypes and harasses and assaults people of many different sexes, gender, and gender expressions, especially those who identify as women, femme, trans, or genderqueer. And this form of masculinity lies at the heart of so many things that are wrong in the world today. It must be resisted, and it can be changed. Now, lest you hear me wrong, I am not saying that all men are bad. This is not a male-bashing homily, and I'm not some big liberal snowflake trying to convince you of anything. There are many, many good men in the world and in our community. But this is about masculinity and how it gets lived out in the world. And if I must name a designated audience for my words today, it is men. And it is straight men who identify as men. And it's probably really for straight white men who hold power in some form or another. And if you are a straight white man, then you do hold power in one form or another. So I'd ask the rest of you just to sort of hang in with me while I have a little chat with the guys. Now, we know that boys and girls start off remarkably similar. This is not meant to say that we're exactly the same, but psychologists tell us that if you gave the same tests to boys and girls probably below the age of 7, the responses overlap by like 90%, indicating that the sexes have much more in common than not. And the well-known child researcher, Dr. Judy Chu, says that what we think of as typical boy behavior isn't natural to boys at all. It's something they learn to act out. So boys aren't necessarily stoic or prone to aggression or hierarchy. They're not bad at forming relationships or unable to express themselves. They pick these things up by adapting to a culture that expects and demands it from them. There's an amazing poet on Instagram named Nayira Wahid who speaks to a desire for a different masculinity when she says, "I want more men with flowers falling from their skin, more water in their eyes, more tremble in their bodies, more women in their hearts than on their hands, more softness in their height, more honesty in their voice, more wonder, more humility in their feet." And honestly, I think many of us want this, including men, and we are not destined to live out a toxic masculinity, but it's going to take some serious work to undermine it. Now, part of the struggle, I think, is for men to even see that this form of masculinity is operating in the world around them. Psychologist Michael Kimmel says that the first step is making gender visible to most men, especially straight men, because gay, queer, and trans men kind of already see it. He says that men don't tend to see that they are the recipients of the greatest affirmative action program in the history of the world. And do you know what that program has been called? The history of the world. Now, how many men does it take to screw in a light bulb? Just one. He holds it up there and waits for the rest of the world to revolve around him. Now, many men have been raised with some level of entitlement, so much so that when other people start to share in the opportunities we've enjoyed, it can feel like we're losing something. What's also hard is that men tend to have greater confidence in their abilities than is actually the case. You may find this comes as a bit of a surprise. We can tend to think that we are smarter, more skilled, or perceptive than we actually are, and thus we don't seek out feedback or consultation very much. And men, in almost any organization they belong to, view their organization as being better for women than the women in that organization would actually rate it. So what do we, meaning men, need to keep doing? Well, we must keep centering the perspective and experience of women of color, and people from the LGBTQ community, and decentering our experiences, our thoughts, our perspective. Now, we know that the more privilege that you have in terms of race, class, gender, sexual orientation, the less likely you are to be in touch with the perspective of anyone else unless you actively seek it out. I know that for me, even having Alicia Garza, who's one of the co-founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, on my Twitter feed, or following Everyday Feminism on Facebook, are small steps that help me get a new perspective on the world. Men also need to step out of the spotlight and make sure that others step into it. Now, along these lines, we need a serious revaluing of the often invisible care work and emotional labor that has traditionally been the realm of women. Our world cannot function without it, yet it is rarely mentioned by men and often taken for granted. Men must give credit to women for their ideas, projects, leadership, and work to make sure that women are successful. There was a tweet that I saw from a woman named Nicole who said, "My friends coined a word, heap-heated. And it's used for when a woman suggests an idea and it's ignored, but then a guy says the same thing and everyone loves it. It gets heap-heated." And speaking of giving credit, I want to thank Lydia, Lynn, Kate, Barb, and Liz for reading my homily ahead of time and offering me feedback, because I'm realizing more and more how much of my thinking has been shaped and distorted by patriarchy. Men need to listen to the experiences of women, take seriously their concerns, and support them in designing solutions to address those concerns. Men would also do well to defer decision-making to our peers and colleagues who are women, or at least collaborate on decisions. So I heard about this study recently from Science Magazine, one of the most respected science magazines in the US and around the world. There was a study published in 2010 about groups and what makes groups function and function with a higher collective intelligence. One of their key findings was that the more women there are in a group, the higher the group's collective intelligence. Period. Given our current structures of socialization, women tend to be much better at cooperation and reading group emotion, thus making teams function better. Doesn't mean that men can't do it, just many of us have been not trained to do that. Now, we also know that countries around the world with the highest scale of happiness are the countries that have the highest gender equality. And we know from research that the presence of women in groups leads to an increased sense of psychological safety, increased group confidence, greater group experimentation, and better group efficiency. I mean, men, we need to step up our game if we're going to bring anything meaningful to the table, right? Even climate scientists say that if you want to reverse climate change, women's equality and leadership is an essential element. So, in our families, in whatever circles we move in, we must keep doing at least two things. First, keep making room for women and girls. Keep asking who is making this decision, whose voice is being heard, who is leading, and how can we decenter men's experience and perspective and center someone else? Second, we need to pay attention to how we raise and socialize our children. We need to keep challenging the stereotypes and provide a chance for our kids to live into a new legacy of diverse gender expression and gender equality. Two great documentaries that I would highly recommend that are streaming on Netflix as we speak are Misrepresentation and The Mask You Live In, both by filmmaker Jennifer Seibel Newsom. And they each really deeply explore the gender stereotypes that dominate so much of our culture. But personal change is not enough. We need to keep asking, how will we join with others to undermine power systems and structures that accept and normalize sexist and violent behavior by men? And for men, undermining those systems means stepping back, listening to, supporting, and standing behind and beside women and others who are already leading the work. And when we show up, it's really helpful to say things like, how can I help? Versus, step aside, ladies, we'll take it from here. Now, what does church have to do with this? Well, I remember back in 1998, when Spiritus Christi was just forming as a community, our family was at a Good Friday service with our twins. We have boy-girl twins, Jonah and Kateri. And my daughter saw Reverend Mary on the altar, and she leaned over to us and she said, I think I want to be a priest someday. Now, we were in tears because we had both grown up Catholic. And even if women had wanted to be a priest, there was never anyone who looked like them behind the altar. But just as importantly that day, I guess I'm going to cry during every homily I give now. My son saw a woman behind the altar, and he knew that that was their rightful place as well. No doubt, this experience has shaped us as a family, but each of us individually. Now, in January 2017, last year, the musical artist Lorde issued a tweet, and this was before all the doo-doo hit the fan in 2017. She said, "These old men in power have a storm coming, the likes of which they cannot comprehend." Now, we hear in today's psalm, if today you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. We are hearing prophetic words, which we hear spoken with authority all around us today about gender equity. Will we listen this time?